Hey, welcome to Beyond a Parent, the podcast for Christians seeking clarity for parenting in a confusing world. My name's Jeremy Autry.
And I'm Chuck Mead, and we are continuing to look at having these tough conversations with your kids about things that we may tend to avoid just because they're uncomfortable, but it's things that our culture are really talking about and pushing, really just pushing their views on our kids. So today we're going to talk about gender. How do you feel about that, Jeremy?
I think it's important, and I think it used to be something that we just thought was, we just had this assumption that everybody in the church got this, and it wasn't even a discussion, not just in the church, but in the world in general, you know, except for some outliers, that this was just generally accepted that there are two genders, and you are the gender that matches your anatomy, mm-hmm. and you were assigned that before birth, you know, and those things that we just assumed were always agreed upon now in the last, decade have just flown out the window completely.
Yeah. So, you know, this, unless you've been hiding under a rock somewhere, kids are being told that gender is a personal choice. It's separate from the biological sex. So we see on social media, even in some schools and definitely entertainment, they'll push this idea of gender fluidity as normal and even celebrated, but we as parents have to be the primary voice speaking truth into our kids' lives.
You know, it's also being taught on some level that if we disagree, it doesn't really matter that much. You know, like there's some things that you can have an opinion on and I can have an opinion on, and it doesn't carry any weight. Mm-hmm. And some people want to treat this topic that way. Maybe some people within the church want to say, okay, there's two genders, but does it really matter?
Right.
Do we need to worry about our kids agreeing with that or believing that? But it absolutely does matter.
Yes. And so we're just going to kind of dive into what the cultural message behind this and then see what scripture teaches and then how we can start having these conversations. So the cultural message is basically, Jeremy, that gender is a feeling, not a biological reality. And that people who feel they were born in the wrong body, they need to transition to the gender that they identify with. And if they do that, it's going to bring happiness and authenticity. They're going to live their true self. That would be kind of their mentality.
You know, how can you... It's hard for me even to track with that. Like, I understand the words we're saying, but it's hard for me to even figure out how we found ourselves in the position that people believe this, you know, that you just can feel different. Mm-hmm. So that must mean you are different.
And at the same time, what they'll say, if you don't affirm someone's gender identity, then it's not just like, okay, disagree.
Agree.
It's agree to disagree. They're not even saying that. They're saying you're actually harming them if you don't affirm their gender identity.
Yeah.
So it's not even like, okay, yeah, you believe this is wrong, whatever. No, they're saying if you believe this is wrong and you tell me it's wrong, you are actually causing me harm.
Yeah. And which I get, you know, like if there's something true about your kid and you pretend like that thing is not true, I see that being harmful, but that's a real thing. You know, that's here's a real situation or a real gift that my kid has. They're actually good at this and I pretend like they're not or whatever. But something that seems so imaginary as I'm a different gender than the sex that I was born as, it seems weird to try to line that up as a right for you to agree with me on this feeling that I have.
Yeah. So we've brought up this book before, but Toxic Empathy by Ali Beth Stuckey, and she, from a biblical perspective, speaks into a lot of these cultural things, and she shares the story. And I think it's good to hear these stories, especially if you're so far removed, you haven't heard of people doing this. This is like, I can't even fathom why someone would do this. She shares the story of a woman named Laura Perry Smaltz, and she grew up in conservative Oklahoma. And she shares that she always felt different. She loved cars, sports, and her dad, but struggled with femininity and felt objectified by men. And so over time, she believed that being female was a weakness. And so what this girl Laura did is she created a male alter ego named Jake and eventually began to live as a male. So with affirmation from the transgender community, she started testosterone treatments. And at first, she describes how she felt euphoric. It made her feel stronger, more confident, and seen. But underneath it all, she knew she wasn't a man. She had to alter her appearance and chase hormones to keep up the illusion. And it's pointed out when Ali Beth Stuckey tells us this story that the pain is real in what these people are experiencing, but also the deception is real too. Now, long story short, there was this, Laura had this moment with God and really detransitioned. There's a new growing movement of detransitioners and how their voices are being shut up across society because it's not popular. But today, Laura's living as the woman God made her to be. She's a voice of compassion and truth, showing that identity isn't found in transition, it's found in Christ. She's using her testimony to point people to the gospel, and that the answer is not found in trying to change your identity. And she found her peace in embracing who God created her to be.
Yeah. So on that note, let's talk about that. How does that work? Does God have a assigned gender? And are there more than two? What does the Bible say about gender? Like Genesis 1:27, it says clearly, so God created man in his own image, male and female, he created them. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of room for debate if we're going to accept scripture as true.
And Jesus repeats that. He quotes this passage in the New Testament too. So this is not like, oh, well, a lot of people love to claim Jesus, but also say Jesus never spoke about marriage or gender or sex or any of that. And he does clearly. He affirms what is established in Genesis.
Yeah. And beyond that, we have Psalm 139 and other scriptures that talk about the fact that God planned who we are and what we would be like. And Psalm 139 says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
So we see through these passages, also in 1 Corinthians 14, showing us that God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, that God intentionally designed male and female. This is part of his design. Gender's not fluid. Sometimes people will point to these abnormalities and this point less than a percent of people who are born with born intersex or born with body parts that are like just in line with both genders. And people say, hey, look at these situations, because people are born, and I'll just use the term, they are born with abnormalities. They are born, it's a deformity. And people say, because this exists, that means that gender is fluid and it doesn't matter. But we don't say if someone's born without arms or without a hand, that means we are not supposed to have hands.
Right.
Like, we recognize that in other birth defects, that this is not normal. This is a result of a fallen world.
And I've heard a very logical, non-Christian argument, line of reasoning, that if someone could be born with the sex organs that line up with both genders, how do we first of all determine what gender that person is? And then if that could happen, isn't it also logically possible, they would say, that if a person was born with both genders, with both sex organs, but only one gender, so they had the wrong organ and the right organ, would it be possible for someone to be born with the wrong organ? And my answer, whatever this is worth, is, it would be possible if there wasn't a God who's completely in control of everything.
Right.
If there's a God who tells us that being in a homosexual relationship would be sin, acting on desires within the same gender would be sin, that these things that, and he tells us men are men and women are women, and if he lays this out, then he's not going to have a kid born who's struggling to follow him and obey him and live the way that he wants to live. He's not the God of confusion. Now, of course, we do have these very real, very true, even though it's a small percentage, people who are born with both sex organs, but that's not the same as someone being born with only female sex organs and being confused about their gender.
Right.
Not to belittle those people dealing with that or say that there's not an answer, because God has an answer. And I think he's the only one. I don't think the parents, the doctor can tell that person with both sets of organs, whether they're a boy or a girl. But I think the God who loves them and created them knows, and he's the one that can help walk through that with them. He's the answer to that. But that's not an excuse for these other confusing takes on gender.
Mm-hmm. And another passage that people will point to is in as a way of saying it doesn't matter and gender is fluid. They'll point to Galatians 3:28, which says there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And some people will say, well, that verse says that means there's not male or female. And that verse, if you look at it in the context of Galatians 3, it's that verse is speaking of unity and salvation, not erasing genders.
Yeah, because the rest of that verse, it doesn't erase the fact that ethnically someone is Jewish. That's right. Not what it's saying. It's saying we don't treat people different within the church. Mm-hmm. So it's nonsensical to try to use that as an argument in this case.
Yep. So key truths that we see from scripture, gender is part of God's intentional design, male and female created in his image. Gender is not a social construct. It's a spiritual reality with physical expression. And men and women are equal in value, but different in role. And this reflects the beauty of God's design. So God has different roles for men and women. We're not going to get as much into that. As much as we're addressing that God created us male and female, but we have to see that God also designed men and women with different roles, but equal in value.
So what does it look like? Why is this conversation so hard? What's something that would be a stumbling block or a barrier or a complication for us to have these conversations with our kid? Let's be truthful about what this looks like. Sometimes, especially as your kid gets older and is forming their own position, you can say, you could feel like, I don't want to be offensive to my child. That's a real concern and should be. The last thing we want to do is offend our children. Or maybe you might think, what if my child already believes differently from me? Is this too late for me to have this conversation? Or what if they know and care about people who are transgender? What if they have friends who are experiencing this? How are we going to handle that?
Mm-hmm. And another one that may come up is, and we talk about it each week, we've been going through this, is I have no idea what to say, which is why we're wanting to start with, as you start to have these conversations with your kids, it's important that we're teaching from scripture, not just our opinion, that we run to the truth of God's word and say, hey, I don't have this position just because I feel like it or I think this. I have this position about gender because God's word is clear on gender.
Yes. Yeah, so here's some encouragement as you're wrestling through that. Remember, we want to present the truth in love. We don't want to sacrifice one for the other. And that's really, those are the two ditches that you can fall in into this conversation. So we want true compassion. We want to care about people that are struggling with this, that are going through this, that have different opinion than us on this. But we also want to present the truth. This is important. And if you stay silent, you're inviting this confusion. So no matter how far along you are on this parenting journey, it's time to talk to your kids about it instead of just leaving this silence for them to learn from somewhere else.
Yeah. And then maybe you can say as you're walking through this, how can I start a conversation? Then maybe you can just start by saying, hey, where do you think gender comes from? Start asking questions that help them understand or help them express really where they're at. And then you can gauge, okay, how much truth do I need to bring in? What are my kids thinking about this? Maybe you've never had a conversation with your kid and they're older. I'm talking more middle high school. And you start asking them questions about gender just for you to see, hey, where are they at? Are they hearing some of these cultural messages and are they starting to believe it? So it'd be good to start with questions in this conversation.
You know what's, this isn't our notes, Pastor Chuck, but you know what's interesting? Maybe a good conversation starter and maybe even a good thought for you to work through on your own before you begin these conversations, because most of us would have a struggle with this. Can you just define the word gender?
Yeah.
What does gender even mean? And I asked someone with a different view than mine, not the, you know, Webster's dictionary meaning of gender, but tell me what you think gender means so that we can be talking on the same terms. And what they said was, gender is how a male or female presents themselves. And so a gender, it would be, okay, guys are tough. Guys like to hunt. Guys like to ride motorcycles and whatever other tough stuff guys do. They know how to work on their cars. And that's the gender of male. And so if I don't fit into that, then there's something wrong with my gender. Mm. And female is, I like to wear dresses and paint my fingernails and whatever society says a female is supposed to be. And if I don't fit into that, then I'm the wrong gender.
Which is all subjective, right? Exactly. It's all different cultures define genders differently and what is normal of a male and what is normal of a female.
But what the Bible teaches is there's these two genders, there's these two different sex organs, there's these two different male and female, and then there are roles and things that line up with this is what a guy is and what a guy's like, and it's more than just his sex organs, and this is what a lady is, and this is what a lady's like, and it's more than just her organs. But God doesn't put all of these details. Our culture does that.
Yeah.
And so, of course, there's people that are left out of that. If you looked at the staff of Central Baptist Church, none of us fit the tough guy, work on my own car, kill deers on the weekend. I just said deers and pluralized it with an S.
That will show just how much of a hunter you are.
Yeah. You know, but we're not that guy. None of us are. But we're all guys and we're all men and we're all manly men. But we don't necessarily fit the stereotype that somebody might have. And this is the danger. Gender was never meant. The concept of gender was never meant to identify and classify every individual person. We're all different. We're all individuals made uniquely by God. No person has ever been exactly like another person. So, of course, these two gender identities have to be broader than our culture might allow for them to be. But that's what causes this confusion. So I think it's important for you to have a stance on this before you talk to your kid, and then ask your kid, just what do you think gender is?
Right.
What? Because without that, we can't move forward with the conversation.
And then when it's time, we teach from Scripture, not just opinion. We've already mentioned this. So we go back to God's design from Genesis 1. We make sure they know, just like we have to reiterate with every single one of these conversations, that our feelings are not truth. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. We find our identity is in Christ, and we have to understand that kids today are hearing your body is the problem, your feelings are the truth, and that is not true according to Scripture. The gospel says we are known, loved, and formed by God with a purpose.
And so we want, first of all, to build all of this conversation on a foundation of truth from God's word, but it's valuable and important also to look around at the culture and what it's teaching and how it is attempting to influence us. School, social media, entertainment all promote a gender ideology.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we want to be empathetic, but you can show empathy to the people who are wrestling with this. Or if your kid brings up, well, what about this person at my school? This is how they really feel. We can teach empathy without affirming lies. So we can still love and respect people while still holding to truth. So that's what is very important, is that we have to understand, like, you can still point out something as true and something as false and still be loving while pointing that out.
Right. And not only can you, but we're commanded to. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a scriptural, biblical, godly command to be truthful and loving, and it's for everyone. And it's important to remember, we don't want to dehumanize people. We don't want to treat people as less than because they're sinners. There's value in remembering that we're all sinners and that we are also all image bearers. We're all created in the image of God, and we all deserve respect because of that. And you can do that. You can love somebody and recognize that they were created in God's image while still disagreeing with their sinful choices. We do it every day.
Yep. And so when we think about any pushback we might receive, like maybe what if you're starting to have these conversations, your kid's older and they disagree with you? How could we handle that kind of pushback, Jeremy?
Yeah, it's important to not blow that out of proportion. If you remember how you thought when you were younger, there are things that you were mistaken about, things that you've changed your view about since you were younger. And that's going to be true for your kid, too. So don't blow this out of proportion and treat it like it's a bigger deal than it is. Remember, it's an ongoing conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel like you have to get everything solved right now. You can ask more questions. You can continue this conversation. And you should continue this conversation over time. And I would say also, it's very important to de-escalate. you're not going to fight your way into convincing them of truth.
Yeah.
And then I would say, this can't be the only conversation or the only person you're having this conversation with. You also need to be talking to God about it, because the Holy Spirit is at work in your kid, and we can trust him to work way better than we can.
And this is the beauty in trusting in sanctification, trusting in the work of the Holy Spirit. I know people, even people within Christian voices and influencers, and I'm reminded of an author, Rosaria Butterfield, who she is a Christian author. And I remember she at one time was talking about, which we're not going to get deep into this, but pronoun hospitality, and people have a different gender identity, calling them by their preferred pronouns. And she at one point was all for that, and then had this big moment with God where she put out that she was wrong and began changing. She said, I was wrong in this, and I actually affirmed this for a while, but God began to convict me about this, that I was affirming lies by doing that, and I can still show love without practicing this pronoun hospitality. And so understand that even though your kid, just like your views, all of our views should be coming in line with scripture. So there's times we may start to see something in culture and society and think, oh yeah, that sounds right. And then we start spending time with God about this and getting into his word, and his word confronts us like a mirror, where we're like, okay, I think I need to change this. And God can do the same thing with our kids. They may find themselves, I remember the first time, Jeremy, working at a restaurant, and this was over 10 years ago, and working with people who would change their genders. In fact, where they would be working as a male, and they would go away for a few weeks and come back as a female. I've had that happen. This was over 10 years ago, and no one was talking about this. And it wasn't as popular, especially where I was working and in a more conservative area of the country than where we are right now. And so your kids are going to come across people in the workforce or in their schools who may identify as transgender. So we have to encourage them in those moments to show kindness while also holding firm in biblical truth.
And you used the word may in that sentence. It's becoming less and less of a probability and more of a definite situation.
Right.
As these numbers, I'm 104 years old, and I can remember when our local high school had no one openly dealing with this. Zero. And if you're in our area, you know that that's not true now. If your teenager attends our local high schools, they know someone who's dealing with this. So it's becoming more and more of a definite situation that our kids are going to come across. And in some ways, it's bad that there's this sin going on in our world and this confusion, because that hurts people.
Yeah.
And it's offensive to God, but it's good that we're interacting with lost people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to run away from that, but we want to prepare our kids for it, how to love someone without affirming every sinful choice that they make.
Yep. And so I would just encourage you, this is an ongoing conversation. Don't feel like you got to cover everything in one talk, but look to have a conversation with your kid, especially as they're older, and start talking with them using one of these questions that we talked about, or asking how they would define gender, knowing where they're at, and then looking to equip them with the truth of God's word.
Yeah, it would be a good time to make up your mind that you're going to do this week. A goal to have a conversation with your kid, as awkward as it's going to be, put it on your calendar, put it as a reminder in your phone. Let's sit down and talk about this. Make it happen this week.
Yeah, for me, Jeremy, I just sometimes with my kids, they're little, they're toddlers, and there's just songs I know about how God created them, boys and girls, and that's just a good thing. So just start anywhere where I'm not going to have this deep, drawn out theological conversation about gender with my five-year-old, but I can at least start presenting the truth of what God's word is.
As we close, Chuck's going to sing us out with one of those songs, and that'll be the end of our episode.
You know, that would be nice, but maybe I'll save that for next time. Thanks for listening to Beyond a Parent. Remember, parenting is beyond us, but in Christ, we have all that we need for this journey.
God made us boys and girls.
It's true.